Yes. Lord, we celebrate you today. We celebrate you, Jesus, the one who came, the one who lived, the one who laid down your life, and the one who was raised from the dead. The one who ascended to be with the Father where you are today, the Lamb that was slain, ruling from the throne, and the God that's going to return one day to fully establish your rule and reign. Lord, we praise you today. We thank you today for who you are. Lord, I thank you for this community, this church. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst, and what you're doing in our region, and how we are in an amazing time in history where you're offering yourself in new and profound ways. And so, Lord, we just say we want to receive what you have for us. As a church, we just say, Lord, if you're doing it anywhere in the world, we want you to do it here. As a region, we just say, as a region, there's so many incredible churches in this region, Lord. So many amazing men and women who have a kingdom mindset, not just a little my kingdom mindset. And so, Lord, we bless them. And we just say, whatever you're doing in the world, Lord, would you do it here in East Tennessee? We want to be a people that receive. We want to be a people that believe, the people that rest and give you a place to rest. So lead us into truth, Lord. Lead us into truth today. Set us free. Heal us where we need to be healed. Give us hope where we need hope. Let light shine into the darkness, because the darkness cannot overcome it. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man. How many of you are grateful for the blood of Jesus? Yes. We can't overstate the beauty and the power. And honestly, it's a weird thing, right? Like, we're celebrating a victorious king, but the way he had victory was through death. Oh, man, that's confounding, isn't it? So, so amazing, beautiful. It is so good to be with you. My name is Derek. And it's an honor to be here in your presence today. You know, we try to be a simple people here at the church. We don't gather around a personality or a band or a building. We love the presence of God. We believe it changes everything. My hope and my heart is every Sunday we gather, every time our small group gather in houses, every time we have an equip class, that the priority is that we are encountering God, because that's what we're made for, right? And so if you're a guest, we want to welcome you. It's so good to have you. I want to thank all the people that gave condolences last week to me. You know, I heard it said that Michigan fans are like cicadas. They come out about every 17 years. No, it is good. I love the text messages. I give it out, so I got to take it. I love this community. It's an honor to be part of it. Man, we are in the Advent season. December is here. We are making our way towards Christmas, towards the end of the year, which is incredible, right? And there's a lot of things that I love about Advent. One of the things I love about Advent is that we as a church, we are joining with churches all over the world, different denominations, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Orthodox, Catholic, and all of these churches around the world are gathering around the foundations of our faith under the banner of Jesus. Doesn't that sound like heaven to you, by the way? That for just maybe 4 or 5 weeks, that as a church universal, we can just say, you know what, we have some different views on some text in the scriptures. We have some different views on how we should worship. We have some different views on some, but you know what we can gather around? We can gather around hope. We can gather around love. We can gather around joy. And we can gather around peace. And I love this season, because I think there is a unity that happens in the bride of Christ, the people of God all over the world, when this happens. And so as we celebrate Advent, maybe that's something new for you. It is a little bit more traditional, and you know, we're not typically a traditional church, but we're traditional in this fact that we like to celebrate Advent. Advent, what is it? It means a coming or an arrival. And so obviously at Christmas time, the Advent season, what are we celebrating? What are we here giving thanks for? We're remembering back to the coming, the arrival of King Jesus as a baby boy. And so we're talking about, we're thinking back, we're looking back, and we're giving thanks that God saw it fit to send his son. But at the same time, we're in Advent, we're looking back, we're also looking forward because this little baby boy that was born to the Virgin Mary also said that he will come back one day. And so as we're thinking back to his faithfulness in coming, we also look forward with hope and expectation to the fact that he will return. And when he returns, let me tell you, he's going to establish his full kingdom on the earth as it is in heaven. There's no more cancer, right, Gary? No more cancer. There's no more sickness. There's no more separation in any way when he comes to restore all things on the new earth. And so we look forward as we look backwards. But the thing that I think we oftentimes miss in Advent is that it's also meant to be a very present coming. How many of you know that Christ is offering himself all the time to us in the moment? And as his followers, as his kids, he's saying, Derek, I want to usher my kingdom through you wherever you go. And so as this Advent season is upon us, we look back to the birth of Christ. We look back to the nativity. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. We look forward to the fact that you are coming again, and we're excited about that. We don't cower down. No, we come in expectation, not because of what I've done, because of what he did on the cross. And at the same time today, we have this expectation that Jesus, that you are coming in a way that I want to receive. And so as Jamie talked about hope last week, brought an incredible insight on hope and really this beautiful thing about fear and how it's the hope in the wrong direction. I thought it was so profound and so good. But that was not just a hope for the past or the future. It's a hope for today. And so as we look at love, as we look at peace, as we look at joy, and as we gather together Christmas Eve, we're looking back, we're looking forward, but we're also saying, Lord, right now, where are you at? And what are you doing? And so today I want to talk about love. I want to talk about love. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege to go visit a couple in our church, Gladys and Glenn Haynes. I think we have a picture of them up here. Tom has them. Many of you know this couple. Oh, can we just say all together? Oh, isn't that so beautiful? So Glenn is 90 years old, 90 years old when I got to sit down with him. And he had a fall and was not doing super well. So I went to their house and visited with them. And an amazing fact about them is this couple right here, they're like saints. Like if we had sainthood, like in Christ Fellowship, like they would be it, honestly. Because they were one of the couples at the very first gathering in a basement of a house that later became Christ Fellowship. 42 years they've been part of this fellowship from the very beginning. They've served in countless ways. They've loved our community. They've led worship. They've baked pies that sold for like $500 for missions. It was incredible. Like, she's amazing. And so I went over and visited with them. And then just this week, I unfortunately got some news that Glenn was not doing well, and he had to go to the ER, and so I went to the hospital, I think it was Wednesday, maybe, and I visited with him and Gladys and Donna, their daughter, and as I was there, they were telling stories, and Gladys, you know, she's a storyteller. She loves to share, and she was telling me about their 71 years of marriage. You heard me right, 71 years of marriage. Like, isn't that incredible? Like, 71 years. And it's so sweet because they're still touchy and feely. Just like that picture, like they're like, they do this all the time. They like need to get a room sometimes, right? Like they're so touchy and feely, and I love it. And so I'm there in the hospital, and what I recognized was Gladys was there, and Glenn was hooked up and everything, and she's just holding his hand and talking about and reminiscing, and it was beautiful. And one of the kids took this picture and sent it to me. Because I left that night from the hospital recognizing that I had seen something very special. You know, Paul says in Ephesians that marriage is to be a picture of God's love for his people. And then a little bit later this week, we got word that they called the family to the hospital. And so I went back to the hospital, and it's beautiful. Like, those are sacred moments that we, when we get invited into them, we hold them really loosely. And as I went into the hospital room, all of the family is around. I mean, it was beautiful. All of them, they were packed in there, grandkids and kids. And so I'm talking to them, and they laugh. They were laughing. And the next moment, we'd be crying. And I prayed, and I was talking to Glenn, who was, they'd taken all the things off of him, and the oxygen and everything was taken off because they knew it was pretty close to his time. And I grabbed his hand, and I'm talking to him, and then I saw across the room, and now he doesn't have a lot of energy at this point, and I saw, it's amazing, he can't even speak at this point, his left hand, so I'm holding his right hand, he's in bed, kind of looking up, and he grabs his left hand, and he looks for his wife's hand, and he grabs it. And I was like, oh my goodness, that is a beautiful picture of love. And then we got word that Glenn passed away. And we're gonna be celebrating his life and remembering him Monday here, tomorrow at the church here. But I'll never forget the beauty, how even after 71 years, and you can imagine in 71 years, if you've been married for more than a week, you know there are ups and downs in marriage. So just like if you've been married like 5 years, be like, okay, that's great. Now multiply that by a lot. You've been married 35 years. Multiply that by two. Oh my goodness. So they saw some incredible highs in their marriage. I guarantee it. They've also had some incredible lows in their marriage. And yet at the end, what's so profound is that she's still there holding his hand until the very end. And that, my friends, is a picture of the Father's love for you. No matter when you don't even have the words to tell him that you love him, no matter in the moment where you feel like you've not done enough, how many of us feel that way with God? He doesn't separate from us. He stays right there. And it was such an honor and a privilege to be in that sacred space with the family. And they were joking around, and I asked them if he'd send the pictures, and they were like, man, we might as well just write your sermon. I don't know why you spent all week like preparing. Like, you could just preach this story. And I'm like, you're exactly right. Like, our lives, by the way, are the greatest sermon we'll ever preach. And these two, they taught me what love looks like. This idea of not separating, of remaining like this. And I think this is the picture. Like, as they were holding hands, like, this is the picture of God's love for us. It's this interconnected wovenness that God has for all of us, what he offers us. And as we're thinking about Christmas and the advent of Christ, I want us to today look at love through a little bit of different lens. And so I want to start in John 3:16, because John 3:16 sets the stage for the arrival of Jesus, for the conception and the birth of Jesus, as we're talking about love. And so we're going to be in John 3:16, and then I'm going to jump to 1 John chapter 4 in a little bit, and if we have time, we'll land in Philippians chapter 2. So if you've been in church at all, or if you've ever watched a sporting event, honestly, you've probably seen John 3:16 somewhere on a billboard or a poster or eye black or, you know, somewhere. And many of us know this, and that's honestly one of the reasons I love Advent season, because it gets us back to simplicity. You know, I think sometimes spiritual leaders, pastors, we like to move into the complex, and we like to wow people with things. And honestly, as people, as Christians, we like complexity. And I think one of the reasons we like complexity is because it keeps us from doing the simple. See, I'm a real simple guy. Like I want to know, what did Jesus say? And how do we try to live that out, right? And so, honestly, I don't think we ever graduate from John 3:16. And 17, by the way, we're going to see this. So John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Who did God love? Everybody just say it. Okay, now remember that when you're watching the news. Remember that when you're watching the international news and you see other places in the world. Remember that when you have family gatherings, honestly. Just being honest. That God loved the who? Not the church. He does love the church. Everybody say amen to that. But it says here that for God so loved the world What did he do because of that love? That he gave us his son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal, unending life. And look at verse 17. We usually don't get there, but look at verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Oh my goodness, we need to hear this, Christians everywhere. God loved the who? Okay, everybody gotta get this, because we're gonna stand here till we get it, right? God loved the who? World, and he didn't come into the world to what? Oh, wow. Social media. Listen to this verse. He didn't come. He didn't send his son to condemn the world. Although we love to point the finger. I like to point the finger. I like to be right. Anybody else like to be right? I like to be on the God side. But God came to the world that was opposed to him. And he said he didn't come to point the finger, to tell them what they're doing wrong. You know what he came to do? It says here. It says that he came into the world not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus didn't come to point the finger. He didn't come to tell us how bad we are, although that's what we honestly hear a lot of times. It says that he came to save the world. And why did he come to save the world? Because he loved the world. What I want us to see here is that the driving force behind the advent of Christ was the Father's love for the world. This is not a minor miss. When we're talking about Christmas, when we're getting presents, when we're getting the tree set up, when we're telling the Christmas story, we've got to recognize that the genesis, the beginning of the Christmas story is that the Father had a love for the world, so much love that he wanted to send his son into the world, not to condemn and point the finger at the world, but to say, I will die for you because I love you and I want you to be with me. Now this word love is a challenging word for us, especially in our limited language. And so as I was chewing on this week and digging through the scriptures, and I put together maybe a different spin on what love is that we're talking about today. And so here's the definition that I have for love. Love is that which cultivates wholeness. And when we say wholeness, I'm talking about the original design that God has for us. Physically, mentally, relationally, for sure spiritually. That love is anything that which cultivates wholeness. This is what we see in Colossians 3:14. He says, above all else, above everything else you're gonna do, put on love which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You know what that is? That's wholeness. God is what? Love, 1 John. God is love. Do you know what God is? He's whole. And you know what God does in everything that he does? He offers wholeness. Wholeness with the Father, that's why he died, that's why he raised from the dead, to give us wholeness with the Father, but he also came to offer wholeness between me and myself right here, where most of us deal with this kind of brokenness in here. He says, I want to heal that, Derek. You know what else he did? He said, I want to bring healing, I want to bring wholeness to your relationship with other people, both your neighbor and your enemy. And honestly, even the gospel, it's also bringing wholeness between us and our relationship to his creation. We don't talk about that much, but he's bringing wholeness. He's bringing restoration. This is God, the God that is love. This is what love is. It's anything that's bringing about wholeness. And as we move over to 1 John this morning, as we look at this love, we see it so beautifully given to us as the picture of Christ. Yes, in the birth of Christ, but also in the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, we find out a lot about love, and it's really simple. But we love to get complex. And so I'm just drawing us back, and I'm just here to herald today that first love is our priority. Remember, Jesus said, they will know you by your love for one another, that you are my disciples. See, that association, Jesus said, they will know that you're associated with me by the way that you treat one another. that associate. We understand associate. Like, so my kids and I, you know, we're missionaries, Buckeyes here in the SEC country. And so whenever we see somebody with an Ohio State hat, we get so excited. Whenever we see a car that has an Ohio State bumper sticker, we're like, look at that car. Like, my kids will like take a picture and send it to me. You know why? Because we recognize association. And Jesus says, listen, they're gonna know that you're associated with me, not by the way you vote. I'll let that simmer there for a second. Not by your bio on social media. Not by the church you attend. Not by your Bible knowledge even. He said that you will be recognized as somebody who's following the way that I've led, Christ has led, by the way you love one another. You know what Jesus is saying in that? That the number one thing that separates him from everything else is that he wants to be known for his love. It says, if you're a follower of me, if you are a person that's walking the way of Christ, you will be known by the way that you love one another. He also said it's the greatest commandment, love God. Second is like it, love yourself or love others as you love yourself. It's the beginning of Christmas. It's where it all began. He loved the world so much that he sent his son. Now look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Man, that's hard. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, Advent, arrival, so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the propitiation, or that's a bigger word for payment, for our sins, for our separateness. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. First John 3:16, a little bit earlier in this passage, it says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. See, the most powerful form of love is to lay down your life for another person. And this is the model that Jesus gives us. And it's the invitation to follow in his footsteps. The most powerful form of love is to lay down your life for another. Now we think back, once again, we think back to the beginning where Jesus stepped into this world, was born of the Virgin Mary. We look forward to the day he's gonna come and restore all things. But today, what's it look like for us to love? What's it look like to be about the greatest commandment? What's it look like to be about the second? What's it look like to be the people that are known as a follower of Jesus by the way that we love our neighbor and love our enemies? What does that look like? Well, here's just a couple things that I want to give you today. And I don't know if it'll bring you encouragement. It might be like, yeah, you might be like, yes, that resonates deeply, because that's true. No, number one thing, love is messy. Don't we wish that love was just perfectly put together? Like it always worked out great. But unfortunately, when he says, man, this is the greatest commandment, love, and then we see scriptures that says, man, love the way that Christ loved, that they laid down their life, we see the birth of Jesus was anything but silent night. Oh, holy night. Holy cow night, maybe. Like, wow, like, born of a virgin. That sounds beautiful, and that's true, but the virgin was a teenage girl that wasn't married yet. Little messy in that time. The messiness of the fact that they didn't have room in the inn, like they didn't use Expedia and get ahead. Like there was no place for them to go. In a feed trough is where Jesus laid his head the first night. It's not pristine porcelain Jesus. the smells of the night, animals all around. Like, can we just say it was pretty messy? And that's where love came into the world. And then we think of the cross. He says, this is how we know love, that he laid down his life. Let me tell you, the cross was anything but pristine. The cross was filled with agony. It was filled with Jesus' best friends fleeing in that moment and deserting him. It was filled with what was seen as defeat. It was filled with darkness, tears, weeping, a last breath. Blood stopped flowing. And the scriptures say that is love. It's messy. And so if we're going to love people today, I just want to tell you the way of Christ is that it's going to be messy. Messy people loving messy people equals mess. And so we got to just set the right expectation that following the way of Jesus, it's not always porcelain beauty, but there's beauty in the mess. It's the way of love. The second thing about love that's hard is that love is costly. The birth of Christ was costly. Philippians 2 says that Christ left. He did not hold what he had in heaven as something to be grasped onto, but he let go of it. And he stepped out of that position in heaven and wrapped himself in flesh. It was costly. And the cross, we know, was costly. It cost Jesus his friends. It cost Jesus in the moment his dignity. It cost Jesus allowing what was untrue to be believed. That's hard, isn't it? This is the cross. And so if we're going to love people, as a church, if we're going to love people, if we're going to love the least, if we're going to love the greatest, if we're going to love the poor and we're going to love the rich, if we're going to love the outcast and we're going to love the one that's always first in line, I just want you to know there comes a cost to love people. And Jesus' invitation to you today is, listen, I want you to know that you're loved. And at the same time, I want you to give that love away. And I just want you to know it's going to be messy and it's going to cost you something. We can't be naive to think about following Jesus does not come at a cost. It does. The one that we follow gave up everything. And I know that doesn't preach super well and it doesn't always fill up rooms, but it's the way of Jesus. And I don't want to lie to you today. To love people, to do the greatest thing that he said you could do, the two greatest things, and everything else hangs on those, to love God and love other people, it will cost you something. Third, love is risky. We all know that. If you've ever given your love to somebody, you recognize that's a huge risk. The birth of Christ, the advent of Christ, it was incredibly risky. Think about this, that the God of the universe that spoke the world into existence, he submitted himself to the body of a baby boy and depended on human parents to give him everything that he needed. Like, the God who's always existed before time and space, that God that has so much power that he could just speak things into existence, that God, he humbled himself so far that he would need his mama's milk to sustain himself. See, we can't, like these are real things. This is not just perfect silent night, always bright. No. The God who formed you, he became a real baby that was very vulnerable, very needy. It was risky. And the cross was risky, oh my goodness. That's why he said, Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, man, let it be, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know why? Because the cross was risky. You know what Jesus had to do in that moment? He had to trust the Father's love. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I trust you, Father, even in my last breath, I give my spirit to you. That was a trust. It's risky. Risky trusting the Father that 3 days he'd lay in a tomb and on the third day that the Spirit of God would bring Christ back to death. That was risky. And today, to follow the way of Jesus in this Advent season to love others, let me tell you, it's risky. There's no guarantee that people are going to love you back. There's no guarantee that somebody's going to tell you thank you and write you a handwritten card. There's no guarantee. Yeah, that's not what we're after. We're after the way of Jesus, to trust him and let him deal with the response. And then lastly, and this is where it gets really great, is that love is powerful. The birth of Christ, so powerful that the king was threatened. This little baby came into the world, and a king, a very powerful king, felt so threatened because there was so much power in the birth of Christ that he went after him and tried to kill him. The cross, man, so much power. In a last breath, in a yielding of his spirit, Christ overcame sin and death. So much power that the rocks split in two, that the dead came out of their graves, that the veil was torn in two. Power. Martin Luther King Jr., I think one of the great quotes that we have from leaders. He said, man, darkness cannot overcome darkness. Only light can do that. Man, can we remember that today, by the way? And then the second one is like it, and this really could be the key to seeing peace, is he says that hatred cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Wars upon wars upon wars here, family, politically, religiously, international, you know what that only produces? Hate produces hate. You know the one thing that has the power to break the power of hate? Love. Is it messy? Yeah, it's messy. Is it costly? You better bet you. Is it risky? Yeah. But let me tell you, sacrificial love is the most powerful thing in the world. Has the power to transform families, has the power to transform communities, regions, nations, and the world. And this is the invitation that we all have today, is Jesus saying, Derek, I want you to know my love. I want you to rest in the fact that while you were still a sinner, while you were an enemy of God, he chose this. And I want to just burn this picture in your head. This is God in you, and this is what Christ did on the cross. He said, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. Just like Gladys and Glenn, at the very end, Gladys and Glenn, still doing this, at the very end when he had his last breath, this is the picture that they gave us. And this is what Christ has given to you. You are loved. Stop fighting him to make him try to believe something else. You are loved. When you were at your worst, so I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're at the worst. Good news, you're loved. Maybe you're feeling pretty good today. Maybe you're like on a high and your worst was 10 years ago. Guess what? You are loved. And he says, man, once you are loved, once you receive the love of God, then guess what? Give it away. So this Advent season, we don't just spend time looking in the rearview mirror, although it's good to do that sometimes. We don't just look only to the future. Jesus is coming back. Yes, he is, but he's not back yet. Today matters. And so in this Advent season, can we just be a people that we are present and we love? We're loved and we loved. So Lord Jesus, today, man, we thank you for the love of the Father for the world, for the darkness, for those that are far from you, for those that are running against you. We thank you that you love the world so much that you sent your Son. Not to condemn the world. Thank you, Lord, that you don't condemn us, but you gave your life so that we could be saved, that we could be brought into eternal life, which is knowing God today. And we thank you, Jesus, that as we remember back to your coming, your advent, as we think forward to the future coming, the return, that today that you are desiring to come, and that through your people, through the body of Christ, that you're making your love known and you're inviting us to to love our neighbors as ourselves, but also to lay down our lives and love our enemy or our enemies, the people that we disagree with, that we don't want to associate with, that you said, this is my way. It's messy. It's costly. It's risky, but it's so powerful. So Lord, in this season as a church, would you teach us and would you invite us the way of love? Or transform relationships, transform families, communities, transform us as we receive your love and as we give it away. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. We're gonna have our ministry team come up here right now. Before you head out, we were praying earlier, and so as always, if you have any need whatsoever for prayer, we would love to pray for you. But specifically, one of our team members was sharing, they had a dream last night, and it was around somebody had a knee injury or an old injury that had a lot of scarring that hadn't been healed yet. And in the dream, it was prayed for, and that thing that had been there for a long time, that thing that had kind of given up hope, it was restored instantly. And so today, specifically, if you've got an injury or some pain that's been there a long time, or maybe it's not a physical, maybe it's a relationship that you're like, man, this relationship has been bad, bitter for a long time. And today I just want to encourage you, as Kim started the day out, man, with God, all things are possible. And so we would love to pray with you, join you in faith. If you have any other prayer needs, we'd love to pray with you. We believe there's power in it when we join together. Other than that, guys, we love you. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week.